Thank you very much for the lovely music. Please join with me now and let us invite the Holy Spirit to encourage us today as we continue our series on the Ten Commandments. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you as we consider who you are. We acknowledge, we recognize that nothing in all creation can compare with you. Nothing in creation can compare with your majesty, your glory, your power, your grandeur. And this is really at the heart of the second commandment. And yet, we also recognize that your word is eternal. It has application for all people at all times, in all places. And the commandments have application to us today in the 21st century. Lord, as we unpack this morning, we ask that your spirit would teach us, that you would show us how this commandment applies to us and to our day-to-day lives. So we pray that you would create within us a continued desire to be faithful to you as a church family and to be faithful to you as the body of Christ. Encourage our hearts and challenge us today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just when you think the world can't get any weirder, you come across a strange story. A few years ago, the Chicago Tribune posted a rather unusual story about a family who replaced their son with a cardboard picture of their son. Now, here's what happened. A 24-year-old Dave Davila had to move away from his close-knit family after he took a job in Chicago. But family gatherings weren't the same without Dave. His mother missed him a lot, so his mother went to a store, she found a digital photo of Dave, and then she went to a store to have that photo blown up to the same height as Dave, meaning that the photo of Dave was now nearly 6 feet tall. Then she mounted the photo to a heavy piece of cardboard. Whenever Dave's parents and siblings had a family dinner or a family gathering, they would bring out this cardboard picture of their son and sit it at the table where the real Dave used to sit. Sometimes they would load the cardboard picture of Dave in the family van and take it on an outing with them. Well, news soon spread around the city of Chicago, and the cardboard picture of Dave actually became a celebrity. Complete strangers wanted to have their picture taken with cardboard Dave. Now, as you can imagine, things sometimes got awkward for the real Dave. He told the newspaper, "Well, sometimes I'm in Chicago talking to my mom on the phone, and she says, 'Hold on a minute, Dave. I have to load you into the van. It's a little weird.'" Now, the problem in this situation isn't that Dave's family had replaced him with another son. The problem is that they're trying to get close to Dave through an image of him. And this is exactly what the Israelites did in the Old Testament. Pastor Braden read for us a few moments ago one of the most striking incidents in the Old Testament, which occurs in Exodus chapter 32. Moses was on Mount Sinai, where he had just received the Ten Commandments from God. And while the Israelites were waiting for Moses to return, they grew impatient, and they decided to make a god they could see and they could touch. They melted their jewelry and made a golden calf, and then they proceeded to worship this golden image. Today's message is part two of a series called A Fresh Look at the Ten Commandments. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the first commandment, which says, "You shall have no other gods before me." The first commandment points us to the uniqueness of God. He is the one true God, and therefore he should occupy the central place in our life. Today we're going to explore the second commandment, which is closely related to the first commandment. The first and second commandments both deal with the sin of idolatry. Both of these commandments tell us to keep our relationship with God pure. So what is the difference between the first two commandments? I think we can understand the difference this way. The first commandment tells us not to worship false gods, while the second commandment is concerned with worshiping the true God correctly. To put this a little differently, the first commandment is about whom we worship, while the second commandment is about how we worship. Today we're going to take a deeper look at the meaning of commandment number two. Why did God give us this commandment, and how does it apply to us today in 21st century North America? Please follow along as I read Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 8 to 10. Deuteronomy 5, verses 8 through 10. And God said, "You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to thousands who love me and keep my commandments." Well, 2 weeks ago I mentioned that many people look at the Ten Commandments and they see a set of rules which are designed to enslave us and limit our freedom. But these commandments were not given to enslave us, they were given to enrich our lives and to make our relationships with other people healthy. The Ten Commandments are a reflection of God's holy character. You see, true freedom comes when we live as God intended life to be lived. True freedom comes when we live within the boundaries that He has set in place. The second commandment sets the boundaries for how we worship the living God. It prohibits us from making an idol to reflect the image of God and then using that image to enhance our worship. In practical terms, let's look at what the meaning is behind the second commandment. And I want to suggest that there are at least three meanings behind this commandment. First, we are not to use human-made representations of God when we worship. Verse 8 refers to idols made in the form of anything in heaven, on the earth, or in the waters below. Back in Old Testament times, Old Testament cultures would have a common practice to take themes from nature. So the pagan nations would take themes from creation and make statues to represent their image of God. For example, the Egyptians worshipped many gods, and they would carve statues in the forms of animals to represent some of these gods. They would pray to these images, and then they would offer them sacrifices, and they would offer them their worship. But the God who revealed himself through the Hebrew people expressly forbids this practice. And as I'll point out in a few moments, no earthly image can accurately represent the glory and the greatness of God. And one thing I want to make clear before we go on is that the second commandment does not forbid the use of visual arts, beauty, or decoration within a church. Throughout church history, some people have taken the second commandment so literally, they've actually rushed into churches and destroyed stained glass windows and destroyed artwork depicting sacred scenes. But I think this totally misses the point. The second commandment does not forbid art, beauty, or sacred symbols like the cross. What is forbidden is creating images of God that serve as objects of our worship or which are used to aid us in our worship. Nothing on earth, nothing whatsoever, can accurately represent the glory and the majesty of God. Let me give you a second meaning behind this commandment. The right way to worship God is through faith. Hebrews 11:6 says that anyone who comes to God must come by faith. Romans 10:9 says, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." These verses emphasize that anyone who wishes to know God will know him through faith. The second commandment also underscores this truth, that we worship God by faith. We cannot physically see God, so we put our faith in God's word to help us understand what he is like. If you and I use an image of God to help us in our worship, we are no longer worshiping by faith. Instead, we're focusing on that physical image that we have made. Here's a third meaning behind this commandment. God has no tolerance for idolatry. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 25 warn us about worshiping creation rather than worshiping the Creator. God is the one who formed the mountains, the oceans, the moon, the stars. Creation reveals the power and the greatness of God. He wants us to appreciate the beauty of creation, but not to worship it. At the heart of the second commandment is the importance of worshiping God, the Creator, as opposed to worshiping what God has created. Well, I once came across a story about a young guy who was shopping in a grocery store, and he happened to notice that there was this little elderly lady who was following him around everywhere. As he would go down one aisle, she would walk down that aisle. In fact, the guy noticed that this elderly lady kept staring at him. When he got to the checkout counter, this little old lady jumped in front of him to get in line. She said, "I'm sorry if I've made you uncomfortable by following you around. It's just that you look so much like my son who lives far from home. I hardly ever see him, and I miss him so much." Well, the young guy understood the lady's heartache, so he said, "That's okay, don't worry about it." Then the elderly lady said, "Look, I know it sounds silly, but if you can just call out, 'Goodbye, Mom,' as I'm leaving the store, it's going to make me very happy." So the guy agreed to do this. The elderly lady went through the checkout, and as she was leaving the checkout area, the guy shouted, "Goodbye, Mom." Little old lady smiled and waved back at him as she walked out of the store. And the guy felt really good because he was able to cheer this lady up. He turned to pay for his groceries, and the clerk said, "That comes to $210.85. And the guy asked, "Well, how is that even possible? I only bought 3 items. The clerk said, "Yeah, but your mom said that you would be paying for her groceries too." Now, this makes us laugh a little bit, but truthfully, no one likes to be deceived, do they? And I think when we look at the second commandment, the problem of deception lies at the heart of what God was getting across. To worship a physical image of God deceives us because it distorts the truth about God. For example, God is not limited by time and space like a physical object is. We cannot control and manipulate him like we can control a physical object. Let me explain this further by giving you 3 reasons why God gave us the second commandment. Reason number 1, human-made images of God distort the glory of God. The Lord gave us the second commandment because no physical representation of God can compare to the greatness of God. Whatever humanity can create, God is greater. Whatever wonder of nature we can observe, God is more majestic. Whatever power in the universe we can discover, God's power is absolutely unrivaled. No human-made object can possibly represent the greatness of God. Isaiah chapter 40, I would encourage you to read it sometime. Isaiah 40 describes how God is greater than we can ever comprehend. Verse 14 tells us that the nations are but a drop in a bucket compared to God. Verse 26 points us to the billions of stars in the galaxy and tells us that God knows each by name. That's just simply incomprehensible to us. But nothing in all creation can compare with God's power, authority, wisdom, his immensity, and his majesty. The second commandment was given to remind us that we must never, ever diminish the greatness and the glory of God. So what's the problem with diminishing God's glory or his greatness? I think if we have a diminished perception of God, there will always be consequences. A diminished view of God will cause us to live in fear and to live in anxiety because we'll never be able to trust God to meet our needs. A diminished view of God will hinder your prayers because you will be unsure if God has the power to intervene in your life. When we forget the grandeur of God, we pray without faith, we worship without awe, we suffer without hope, and we live a life of stagnation and fear. One of the reasons I believe why we don't see God's power at work in so many of our lives today in North America is because we don't step out in faith and attempt great things for God. We limit God with our lack of vision of what God is capable of doing. There is a second reason why God gave us this commandment. Idols divert us from the one true God. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, God told the Israelites to remember the blessings and the great things, the good things that he had done for them. The Lord knew that we quickly forget where our blessings come from. We are prone to forget to thank God for his goodness. So in verse 16 of Deuteronomy 11, God said, "Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them." Likewise, in the New Testament, 1 John 5:21 says, "Dear children, keep yourselves from idols." In other words, keep yourselves from trusting, revering, and following anyone or anything other than the God who has revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. Let me give you a third reason behind why God gave us this commandment. True worship is God-centered, not self-centered. Earlier, I referred to the golden calf in Exodus 32, which Braden read for us. And the whole scene unfolds in verse 1 when the people gathered around Aaron, Moses' brother, and they said, "Make us gods who will go before us." The Israelites wanted a god whom they could manipulate to suit their own desires. They wanted a god who exists to fulfill their wants. I believe there's a short distance between God-centered worship and self-centered worship. God does not exist to please me or to make me happy. I exist to please him. If I come to worship focused on myself and what I can get out of worship, I think I've come with the wrong attitude. In his book, Off Balance on Purpose, business leader and tightrope walker Dan Thurman explains how tightrope walkers are able to balance themselves in order to walk successfully across a tightrope. To walk across a tightrope is not nearly as easy as it seems. So how does a good tightrope walker make it look so easy and effortless? Thurman explains, when new students step onto the rope or the cable, they almost always begin with the same flawed game plan. They stare down at the wire to make sure they have the proper footing. But when they stare down at the wire, they fall to the ground. So what is the solution to this problem? A professional tightrope walker will never look down at their feet or look down at the wire. They never look to either side or look at the balance pole. The key to successful tightrope walking, just in case you want to try this someday, the key to successful tightrope walking is to keep your head up and look straight toward the goal that is in front of you. As Christians, we can learn something from tightrope walking. The key to faithfully and successfully living a life that honors God is to keep our eyes on the goal of our faith. And the goal of our faith is Jesus. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." The essence of worship is to take our eyes off ourselves and put the focus where it belongs, on Jesus. If we fail to keep our eyes on Jesus in worship or in day-to-day living, if we make worship all about our personal likes and our dislikes, we veer way off course. The key to worship is to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus himself, not on ourselves. According to the Associated Press, Ivan Sagedin of New Zealand hated to wear seatbelts. Over the course of 5 years, Ivan received 32 tickets for failing to buckle up. Finally, he decided that this was costing him too much money, all these tickets. But instead of obeying the law, Ivan chose the path of deception. He made a fake seatbelt that hung over his shoulder and made it appear as though he was wearing a real seatbelt when in fact he was not. His trick worked for a while until he was in a car accident. He was thrown forward into the steering wheel and tragically, he was killed. You see, when put to the test, what is fake will harm us, it will fail us. In the same way, the false gods that you and I construct in our hearts will let us down. The first two commandments warn us about the consequences of idolatry, of putting our trust and our faith in the wrong object. I want to close this morning with a few thoughts of practical application. How do we break the second commandment, or in other words, how do we worship the true God in the wrong way? First, we worship God the wrong way whenever we make the expression of worship more important than the essence of worship. The expression of worship has to do with style, while the essence of worship has to do with exalting God. Now, we all have musical preferences, but God is greater than any worship style. Whenever our focus moves from the person of God to the style of the music, we are in danger of breaking the second commandment. We need to focus on the essence of worship, which is to glorify and praise God. Second, we worship God the wrong way whenever we create a God that we can manipulate. Ancient peoples made idols so that they could control those idols. The thinking was, if I do this or I do that, then I can get the God to do whatever I want. And sometimes, inadvertently, we do the same thing. We think, if I pray a certain way, God will give me whatever I ask for. Or if I do all the right things, if I obey God, if I live faithfully, God will spare me from difficulty or heartache and nothing bad will ever happen to me. Or if I have enough faith, God will heal me or he'll make me wealthy. Whenever we try to manipulate God through our actions, we violate the second commandment. God cannot be contained, he cannot be managed or manipulated by anyone. He is sovereign and his purposes will always prevail. Third, we worship God the wrong way whenever we create an unbiblical concept of God. Jesus said that true worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth. In other words, true worship comes from a sincere heart and is based on an accurate biblical concept of God. But some people worship God for some of his attributes while leaving out others. For example, maybe they focus solely on his love and mercy, but they omit his holiness and his justice. We violate the second commandment whenever we worship a God made in our own image, rather than worshiping the one true God fully revealed in Jesus Christ. Please join with me and let's pray together, shall we? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you once again that you are a God who desires the best for us. You have given us commands and principles in Scripture not to restrict our freedom, not to kill our fun, but you have given us these boundaries, these commandments to enable us to live lives that are enriched, to enjoy in healthy, full relationships with others. At the heart of the first two commandments is our relationship with you. Father, it is so tempting for us to create a God in our own image, to create a God whom we can control or manipulate, but you cannot be manipulated. You are the sovereign God. Nothing in all creation can compare with your majesty, your glory, your greatness. Father, when we worship, help us to worship with a sense of awe and reverence at who you are. When we worship, help us to remember that not only are you awesome, you are also loving and good. You draw near to those who draw near to you. May you encourage us today. We've had a lot to think about through this commandment. And help us, Father, to apply these to our lives, knowing that when we do so, we honor you but we also live life the way you intend life to be lived. We ask these things and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand as we continue to worship God with our closing song.